Do you have a criminal record? Do you know someone who does? In Massachusetts, almost half the population is on file in the Criminal Offender Record Information System, called CORI for short. Criminal records have become the basis for widespread discrimination, says the Union of Minority Neighborhoods, a nonprofit group based in the Roxbury neighborhood of Boston. This group has instigated a campaign to stop discrimination against people with criminal records in Massachusetts. Earlier this month, the Boston City Council unanimously passed an ordinance outlawing discrimination on the basis of having a CORI record. I talked to Horace Small of the Union of Minority Neighborhoods and Jackie Lachson, a former probation officer, about the movement to stop this form of discrimination. Horace describes what a CORI record is.
It's a criminal record that details your criminal behavior or your involvement in the criminal justice system. And it was created in 1973 by the legislature when Richard Nixon was running around scaring people half to death about crime in the streets. It became a vehicle for law enforcement to monitor the behavior of people with criminal records. Since it was founded in 1973, we went from like 30 people with a CORI to 2.8 million people with CORIs, almost 3 million people registered on the system. Right now, more than 40% of the people in this state have CORIs. Usually, for minor discrepancies such as like being a truant or being caught with marijuana on the campus of UMass.
I asked what the effects of a lingering CORI record are.
In Massachusetts, it affects your ability to get a job. It affects your ability to acquire housing. It affects your ability to secure a loan. It affects your ability to even register for classes in the school, depending on what the major is. It affects your ability to buy a car. It literally affects everything that you do. It really has hurt lots of folks.
Jackie, who works with people who've recently been released from prison, elaborates.
They keep on getting declined jobs. They go on interviews and they get declined jobs because they have a CORI and it doesn't go any further than that. And oftentimes they don't even get the interview. And so their story is, why should I keep on doing this? Why do I go and apply again? Why put in more applications? And there's one guy came in one night and he says, you know, I got 3 job offers this week. None of them legal, but I know I could have made some money. And he says, I don't want to go there. But if something doesn't start coming through legitimately, I don't have many choices. And so there's a feeling of just desperation. You know, it's like hopelessness. Their whole sense of self-esteem and self-confidence and their ability to believe in themselves is diminished each time they are told no and rejected.
Originally, the only people who had access to CORIs were the courts, police departments, and sheriff's offices. Now, access to a person's criminal record is available to future employers and landlords. Some people's records are even available to any member of the public to see.
Now, in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, more than 10,000 separate entities have access to your CORI. There's legislation now where banks want copies of a person's CORI. Dunkin' Donuts has access to a person's CORI. Dunkin' Donuts doesn't hire people with CORIs.
Discrimination based on criminal records is deeply connected to racial discrimination, say both Horace and Jackie.
Although it affects 2.8 million people, it really has a disproportionate effect on communities of color. There's a ton of racism in the state.
We can look at who in the Massachusetts system have been placed on probation and who's been incarcerated, and those numbers disproportionately are men of color and the low-income poverty level individuals, very highly disproportionately in those areas.
Horace explains why the prison system and the haunting paper trail of past arraignments leaves many people out in the cold.
The criminal system is a setup. When you think of the number of folks who are involved in the criminal justice system, you know, who get paid because of being criminals, everybody from the prison guards to the probation officers, to everybody in the court system, to the police officers, to the counselors, the shrinks, there's a ton of money going through that thing. And Suffolk County sends you out your release date with $5 and a token. There's no place to put you. There's no housing. There's no place to eat. in order to justify large dollars going into the prison industrial complex, they got to make it hard on these folks. They gotta continually make it hard on them so that they can come back and keep the kitty fed.
Massachusetts is among the worst states for people with criminal records, says Horace.
It makes Mississippi look like the bastion of liberalism when you compare their laws, you know, to Massachusetts.
Other states have ensured that non-convictions are excluded, fingerprints are included, and juvenile records are erased, for instance. Jackie describes the anti-discrimination ordinance that was recently passed in Boston.
What it says is that vendors that do business with the city of Boston have to implement a fair quarry hiring process, which means that they can't categorically deny an individual employment because of the quarry. And so that the quarry is something they look at only after they've determined that the individual is a viable candidate, and then would have to determine that there is a nexus between their criminal record and the position that they're hiring for as far as vulnerable populations and the like. And so, and then give the individual an opportunity to explain what that actual incident was and what is different in their lives today, because that happened 3 years ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Boston's ordinance, as it's gotten passed, has gotten a lot of national attention in the print press, which is exciting. They're seeing it kind of as a pioneering move. So Boston's being rather progressive in its city ordinance policies.
On October 24th, the Cambridge City Council will consider a similar bill to outlaw discrimination against people with quarry records in the city government's hiring practices. Horace talked about the organizing strategies that helped to pass the Boston Ordinance.
We didn't want to get a whole bunch of really well-meaning, progressive white folks in a room, sitting around the meeting, meeting upon meeting upon meeting upon meeting, you know, where nothing gets done. We decided, like, we're going to make it, we're changing this whole dynamic. We're going to do something radical. Saul Alinsky will be proud of us. We're going to organize people. And we're going to organize people with, you know, who are most affected by a problem, which is what good organizing is.
Jackie says that the Boston Ordinance is just one part of a statewide movement toward outlawing discrimination against people with quarry records. Later this winter, the Massachusetts State House will consider new anti-discrimination legislation.
Our strategy at this point is to build local bases throughout the state, and that's moving along. And our other strategy is at the State House, getting to and talking with representatives, identifying what their level of knowledge around the issue is, helping educate them, and as well as organizing individuals directly affected by quarry to talk with the legislators and learn that lobbying process.
If you want to help stop discrimination against people with quarry records, Jackie advises being a reference for people with records, writing letters to newspaper editors, talking to legislators, and requesting a speaker from the Union of Minority Neighborhoods who can visit your community. For more information on the Union of Minority Neighborhoods campaign to stop quarry discrimination, see www.unionofminorityneighborhoods.org or call 617-541-4111. In Boston, this is Home Fries.